per hour. Well, I should imagine these warmer conditions would be very favourable for our state education minister. Grace Gray, she's in town today, but I think she's probably working more so than having a holiday. Grace, good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show.
It is such glorious weather, Murray. You're right. I'd rather be holidaying, but unfortunately, I've got a very busy, packed day.
Let's talk about some of those things. And, of course, I actually live just nearby, and I'm a former JCU student as well. Great to see growing up there in the grounds, the front lawn there of JCU. And it's been great to watch the project as well. The Newman Catholic College, you're here to officially open that particular school today.
Yeah, stage one, I think it's a $28 million total project to which the Palaszczuk government has contributed $15 million from our block grant authorities that non-government schools are able to access via application. And I'm also opening that up with, of course, Craig Crawford, Minister Crawford, which is great to have him on board. And then we're off to the Cairns Special School where we're going to invest $11 million. And I know Michael Healy, the local member, is very happy about that as well.
And that's so important, I guess, because there's a certain number of kids and students in our society that often miss out. So having that particular boost, particularly to the Cairns State Special School facility, is really important because I guess it opens up that availability for all kids to get the education that they need and also delivered in an appropriate manner.
Absolutely. And it opened in 2017, I think, with 41 students. And there are about 108 students now in these new 8 classroom outdoor learning spaces, state-of-the-art buildings we're building these days, Murray. We'll have a capacity for around 50 additional students. So hopefully that will accommodate their growth. But transform special schools in this state. We've spent a lot of money doing them up. I was very disappointed when I saw the state of them when I became education minister, and we've certainly worked very hard to ensure that not one of them has missed out.
And of course, some of the facilities that are acquired just by nature of these special schools mean that obviously a lot more money and I guess a lot more forethought does need to go into these schools.
Absolutely. And the budget recognises that we have to really work with schools in not only in the mainstream schooling, but also in the special schools to provide all the support for teachers and staff that they need. And I'm pleased to say that in this budget, we've put in $81 million to transition over the next 2 years to a new system, which is going to provide additional aid for 30,000 extra students, and that will be fully operational by 2025, which is very exciting, not only for those students and the staff, but for the parents as well, because we'll be making sure they get all the support that they need.
Now, look, not all kids with special needs do go to these specialist facilities, and that kind of leads me on to a different thing I'm keen to talk to you about, is the inclusive education model. Just as an example, just I'm a Year 6 teacher, and, I have generally the kids within that, within the class, within that band of achievement of a Year 6. But sometimes you do have a special needs student within the classroom who may be at prep level. Some of the teachers, because I do know quite a few teachers in primary and, of course, senior levels, getting very frustrated about the lack of specialist support. The inclusive model is important, but, it's becoming so hard for the teachers on the ground to actually be able to, address such a range of achievement within the classroom. What type of things can be done to address the frustrations and concerns for teachers when it comes to actually delivering this inclusive education model?
Yeah, look, it's a great point, Murray, and it's one that we've listened to, which is this game-changing new resourcing model that we are providing for students with disability, particularly for those that are in non-special schools. And as I said, it's an $81 million transition, which will make sure that no school misses out at the moment. And what we'll be doing is providing additional support for around 30,000 students that currently would not get that. We're recognising various other disabilities like dyslexia and other kind of supports that are needed in the classroom. We've listened very intently and we want to provide certainty for those teachers and staff in schools. And we're looking up to about 500 additional aid provisions that will be increasing in hours of, say, teacher aids, specialty teachers, and it's very exciting. We'll be transitioning over the next 2 years, and that was announced in this budget, all part of making sure that we've got good jobs, better services, and obviously our fantastic Queensland lifestyle.
Because, you know, I do understand what you're talking about, actually increasing budgets, because I know for some of the teachers, you know, they do get a feeling a bit frustrated sometimes. They feel that the school model these days often run as a business, not so much an education facility, and very much tied to budget. So that additional funding is really important. Couple of things, and I'm not a wet blanket, but I do want to talk to you about a couple of things that are important when it comes to education. You know, obviously attracting teachers, new teachers is important, and also maintaining them. For a lot of the contract teachers, which is, you know, who are often the newer teachers, often they're not getting confirmation of continuing employment until the very last minute, at the end of the year. They don't know what's happening next year for them, and that can be, I guess, quite a disheartening and disconcerting feeling. They're some of the frustrations that I know some of the teachers are also talking about. What type of things can be done to address that so there's a better lead time for contract teachers, and I said often newer teachers, so that they know that they've got that continuity of employment, and often in their own specific area, geographical area?
Yeah, a great point, Murray, and it's one that I'm working with the department on very strongly and urging them to ensure that wherever possible, permanency is the preferred model of employment. Unfortunately, there are times where teachers are brought on for relieving and all of that kind of stuff, and as soon as we can put them on permanent, obviously that's what we want to do. But you're right, we do have to do more and focus on the attraction and retention and obviously advancement of the teaching profession. It's a wonderful profession, and I think anyone in it, it's more a vocation, as those teachers at the round table of the Minister's Committee spoke about just recently in Canberra. They do an amazing job. They are fantastic. And you're right, I want the IR, industrial relation practices, in there that commensurates with the work that they do. They've done an amazing job with our students, particularly through a very challenging last 2.5 years. And we need to do more to ensure their permanency, that they're attracted to the profession. And that's what we spoke about in Canberra. And we've got an action plan coming in December. And I'm so looking forward to adding to what we're already rolling out here in Queensland to ensure we have the, I know we have them now, but even more secure, best teachers. And our EBA is going to be fantastic. We're going to look at the allocative model so we can be sure that it's up to date, meeting needs of students and the staff. And that's going to be happening as soon as the EBA is signed, where we look at exactly numbers of staff in schools and are we accommodating what we need in a modern world of education in the state. And I'm looking forward to that work as well.
And I think New South Wales has actually just looked at this and actually, a different type of reward system for some of their best teachers as well. Just to finish off, I know some teachers...
We've got that too, Murray. We've got that too. We've already had that in the state. It's called the High Achieving and Lead Teachers. We've had that now for a number of years, but obviously COVID put a dampener on so many initiatives. We got our infrastructure done, which was fantastic during that time. Air conditioning, all schools, solar panels, infrastructure, we really put into that. Now is the time to have a look at what do we need to do to implement equity and excellence in our schools, both for staff and for students.
Now, look, Australians love sport, but sometimes I think there's a frustration that, getting through the core academic curriculum should really be the priority, and some of the sport, the extracurricular activity, basically left till after school. But we'll leave that one in the end. We'll talk again soon, because I think there's lots to talk about.
Good on you, Murray. And you're right, but sport is an important part for kids. Often it's the only place where they get it. And the curriculum, of course, must take precedence, but obviously we need to give a well-rounded education, music, sport, all of that thing so important for all of the students in our schools, but also for the teachers as well. They get a lot of enjoyment out of that at the same time.
Sorry to give you such a grilling this morning, but welcome to Cairns.
No worries.
It's great to have you here this morning.
These are really good issues. They're issues we discussed at the Ministers Committee, and they're issues that we discuss nearly every single day, Murray. So, no, you're spot on.
Excellent. Well, look, thank you so much for your time this morning. Enjoy your time in Cairns. Grace Gray, she's the State Education Minister. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
What's your name?
What is your name?
What's your name?
What is your name?
What's your name?
Murray Jones to start your day and the songs you can sing along to. 846 4CA.